In the beginning, say with me, in the beginning, God created, listen, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I told you beforehand, and don't worry, we'll take up an offering throughout the night as it gets more anointed. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Say with me, the earth. It doesn't say Jupiter or Pluto, okay? So let's just get that out of the thing, which means that this is for the earth, amen? Okay, so God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon. Let me just say this. God created the heaven and the earth. The word "and" actually means then, which means that God created the heavens and then the earth. You are so silent. The heavens was created first, then the earth. And while God was creating the heavens, the Bible says that the angels stood from afar off in the book of Job and watched God create the heavens, which means that the angels existed before heaven. God existed before be heaven. When it says in the beginning, don't make a mistake, it's not the beginning of God. Are you guys with me? It's the beginning of this earth and this heaven. Because if God created in the beginning, then the beginning must be, there must be another beginning, which is God. And after him, he only created the beginning. Do you guys understand what I'm kind of like saying? It's basic knowledge. Now, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form. Say with me, was. It means became, which means that the earth became without form. Something caused it to happen, to became without form. I'm not going to go into that. But, and then darkness, say with me, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God moved. And this is what I want to concentrate on. Say with me, moved. Well, let me go back to this. Let me go back in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. Time, space, matter. This life that we live in, this natural life, consists of time, space, and matter. Okay, you're back in science. It's not that bad. But if you're sitting, on your chair, that chair is abiding and submitting by the rules of time, space, and matter. It is molecules that is not even touching one another, atoms that is not even touching one another, but yet you trust and put your faith by sitting on that chair, and the atoms are not even touching one another. Are you guys with me? But it is bound by the law of time, space, and matter. But now if we say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and we say, where does God come from? What is the problem with that is that we're trying to put God in a place like, are we trying to constrain God under time, space, and matter? Time only began when God, when the Bible says in the beginning. God is outside of time, which means that I cannot say where does God come from, because there is no space. Are you guys with me? I cannot say when did God come from, because where he lives there is no time. And I cannot say what is God, as in why can't I see him, because he doesn't live in matter in a materialistic world. He's outside of time, space, and matter. I'm getting to the point of getting a miracle, because we have to understand these laws to receive a miracle. Are you guys with me? Now, time, space, and matter has to work together. It's called time, space, continuum, and quantum coherence. Quantum coherence means time, space, and matter must work together. Time cannot work without space and matter. Matter cannot work without time and matter cannot work without space and time. They all have to work together. But then you get time, space, continuum, which means that they're continually working together and together and together, and they moving, and which means that there's like they cannot work without one without the other, and they must work together. It's a time space continuum, quantum coherence. This is quantum physics. God cannot be bound by that. But say with me, in the beginning. So right in the beginning of the Bible, we see in the beginning is time. So the beginning is time, so we have time settled. God created the heavens, so the heavens. Space, there it's settled. Time and space are settled. Say within the earth, there matter is settled. So we see time, space, and matter. The three laws which the third dimension which we're living in, this third dimensional realm, natural realm that we're living in, those laws that are governing this world is right here in the beginning of the Bible. Are you guys with me? But when you receive a miracle or a prophecy, we go beyond time, space, and matter. Because if somebody gets healed of cancer, in your natural body you have to die, or you have to go so long to go through healing. But when God comes, listen to me, God steps out of eternity where there is no time, space, and matter. And time, space, and matter must submit to him. Jesus walked on the water. Jesus first looked at the boats and he looked for a boat and he couldn't find a boat and he said, I'm going to walk on the water. And he began to walk on the water. And the water, the molecular density of the water changed under him because it had to submit to him. Because Jesus came from another world, another kingdom. Come on, are you guys with me? You and I do not come from this world. You might be born in this world, but you come from another world that is beyond this world. Now, why do you have to submit to the things that is going on in this world? You and I submit to the kingdom of God, which means if there's any sickness, if there's any curse, whatever it is, it does not apply to you and I because we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Say with me, I am an ambassador. When you speak about it to ambassadors and diplomats, and I have, they will say this to you. They will say that if you have the diplomat or an ambassador of the United States, an ambassador of the United States in South Africa, they're living in by the embassy, where they are at and when they drive, have you seen the blue, blue parade, blue light parade, brigade, blue light brigade going past you fast, and you're driving in your Volkswagen and you're thinking, why can they do that? They don't have to stop at robots, they can just go. Why? Because the laws does not apply to them. If an ambassador, listen, the laws, an ambassador has what we call a diplomatic immunity, which means that the laws of this country does not abide to him. He comes and abides by another country's laws. Are you guys with me? If somebody shoots at him, you'll see right now what's happening in America. You know, just pray for America so that World War III doesn't break out. For anybody that's just a little bit watching news, amen. And not the false fake news, but just pray for America. So, because that woman is just really stupid, amen. Or let me say evil and a puppet. And so an ambassador has diplomatic immunity. But when a gun is raised to an ambassador and his life is threatened, or somebody beats him up, there's what you call something is being, that's what's now been raised in America. It's called declaration of war. What happens when there's declaration of war? If somebody raises and shoots an ambassador, immediately the armies of that country goes into what they call a, it's whether it's DEFCON 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, and whether it is 5, and I believe they're now in DEFCON 4. They say they're 3, but when they say they're 3, it is 4. Okay, so just a little bit of news for you that don't watch news. That's what's happening, and it has to happen. For scripture to be fulfilled, it has to happen for the end times as we're going in to be fulfilled. But you can just pray for America, amen. So that a certain man becomes president. So, and common sense, you don't even need to be spiritual, brother. You can just have common sense. And I'm not politics, it's not our country. I don't say Leon is, no politics, you can't even vote for them. So I'm influencing no one, amen. So it's just my opinion. Anyway, so where was I? The ambassador, so they shoot. So declaration of war. So there is actually, they call it, I think it is declared to war or something like that. But it's called a diploma, it's called a declaration of war, which means that now we shoot an ambassador of the United States in South Africa. The army is going on high alert, getting ready to send army troops and commands out to declare a war. America and Russia is so close right now, they're planning, they've already planned it, now it's already out in the newspapers, that if the, it's so close, DEFCON 4, DEFCON 3 is so close that the pilots are already in the airplanes. Are you guys with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? Go read your news. It happened Sunday. So yesterday. The pilots of the United States are in the planes getting ready to take off within a 15-minute call. That's DEFCON 3. That's not DEFCON 5. But if they say they're DEFCON 3, they're actually DEFCON 4. Are you guys with me? So, but now, we're not speaking about worldly kingdoms here. Paul says, you are an ambassador of Christ, a kingdom, a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Say with me, an ambassador of Christ. That means that you and I have diplomatic immunity. Whatever sickness wants to come against us, whatever curse wants to come against us, you are rising above the laws of this kingdom, which means that if the world is going into recession, you are not part of the recession. You are part of the economy of heaven. You are part of the kingdom of heaven. I do not partake of recession. Somebody is saying their finances is going bad. I am not in, listen, I am not of this world. I might have been born in South Africa, but I'm not of this world. I do not come from this world. I come from another world that is beyond this world. Diplomatic, say with me, diplomatic immunity. But now if the enemy comes against you with a sickness, if the enemy comes against you with an attack on your family, an attack against your health, there is what we call a declaration of war that is being raised, not by the United States of America, not by Russia or South Africa, but by the kingdom of heaven. When Elijah said, Father, just open the eyes of my servant. And when his servant's eyes was opened, he saw chariots of fire and the armies of heaven packing up his prophets. I want to tell you, listen, if you're in this place and you are an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven, that you better know you have heaven's armies behind you. Now, listen, listen, listen. I don't know why I said that. Say, the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. It means this. Now we're going to get into miracles. So I just said that so that you can understand too, so that you can know that how to, that you are, listen, that you are right in line for a miracle. It has to happen by virtue of a legal principle. You are an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you are not an ambassador, okay, you know, it might not happen the way you want. It does, but how much more if you are an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven, a citizen? By Paul, the Apostle Paul said, we are just sojourning. We are just traveling through this country on our way to our hometown. We are just passing through. You are not alive. This is not life. Listen, this is not life. Eternity is not a long time. Eternity has no beginning and no end. Are you guys with me? You are in time, in a place of time, in eternity. But when you get into eternity, eternity is eternity. It's not time. Hell isn't a long time. It is eternity. Imagine not being able to breathe every time you want to, and your breath stops here. And every time, for over and over, you're being catched alight with fire. And worms are eating up your body. A body that senses is 100, even 1,000 times more sharper than what our natural bodies are right now, because that'll be your glorified body. A physical body like this that'll feel pain and everything in it, in hell, not for a long time, but for eternity. Endless, no hope. The worst thing people tell you when you speak, read about hell, right throughout scripture, the Bible says that hell enlarges itself and is never satisfied. Are you guys with me? It says the worm dieth not. The worm does not die there. The worm will eat up your body. Are you guys with me? Some of you don't want to hear it. Some of you have to hear this. Okay? Trust me, you have to hear this. Hell is not a long time. They'll tell you the pain in hell, it cannot be compared to that feeling of that there is no hope. Never hope. If it was 5,000 years, you could have still lived in hope. Are you guys with me? But it's no hope for eternity, living in a place of eternal torment. That is why we have a high priest. His name is Jesus Christ. And there are some that sitting in this place and your life is not right with God. Your life is not right with Him. Tonight you will be given an opportunity. Not now, but tonight you'll be given an opportunity to make right with Him. And within 1 second, your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Which means that you're taken out of the book of hell, written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when you die, you don't even have to worry about hell. But you'll have eternity living in a palace, living in the streets made out of gold. Come on. Where there is no sun, but the glory of God is the light. He's got a sea of crystal. Listen, it is going to be an amazing place. That is heaven. We are citizens of that kingdom because you and I come from there. Ah, you've just messed everybody up. Bible says that your spirit comes from God. And it is longing to go back to Him. That's why many times, even as a believer, you feel like you just love the presence of God. Why? Because your spirit is getting homesick. It is just connecting with who it is going to. Your spirit knows your rewards in heaven and what is going to happen to them. It's just looking forward and it's walking out of this church and it's saying, man, I just had a good time. I was spending a little bit of time on Skype going home or whatever, but I saw my family or I saw home and I was right in the environment where I was originally made in the Garden of Eden. That is what the presence of God is. Come on. Say with me. I'm not even getting to this. Say with me, the Spirit of God moved. Say with me again. Say moved. The word moved in the Hebrew, when it says that darkness was overcovering the earth and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. That word moved means this. That was when God was getting ready to create. Are you guys with me? That's not what it means, but this is where we are at. This is when God is getting ready to create. Say with me, create. God is getting ready to create. The word move means this. It means a constant imagination of an outcome. I'm going to say it again. A constant imagination of an outcome. You're not registering yet. It is when you're sitting in your room or your house and you can't pay rent. Or you can't do this, but for some reason you're just sitting and it's 5 hours or 6 hours and all you're doing is you're dreaming about your business one day. Or you're dreaming, you're imagining about the success of your life. Or you're dreaming about your husband and your wife that is a man of God or a woman of God. Come on, you guys, with me. Or you're dreaming about getting healed or receiving a miracle. But you're having a constant imagination of an outcome. Say with me, a constant imagination of an outcome. I actually wanted to say it in another way. It actually also means a constant fluttering of an imagination of an outcome, which means that it speaks of like it's like a constant breeding. A constant breeding, a constant flutter of an out. The actual phrase means this. And goes, Leon is off theology. I'm not, okay? It means this. It's a constant flutter of an outcome. But the word flutter means to brood and to breed. It means I'm busy breeding something. It means I'm imagining it. Are you guys with me? If you stay longer with us, I'll explain to you the visions and dreams and different dimensions. You get Yetzer, you get Nabat, you get Rayon, you get you get Hazon, you get Mara, you get many different dimensions. One of those dimensions, one of them is the imaginations, that how you and I are imagining what it's going to happen. When I prophesied over these people, I imagined it before I did it. I'm just giving you the keys. People don't like this. It's like you just want to, I don't know. How many of you want to prophesy? How many? Okay, that's a few. I don't know what the rest want to do. Okay, maybe the others. How many want to work miracles? Amen. But the Bible says the greatest of it all is prophecy. So how many of you want to prophesy? How many of you want to have the ability to look at somebody and see something that there's no way that you could have known that before? I'm giving you the key. Imagination. I know that's not what you want to hear. You want to hear 10 steps. How to do this, how to do that. I must pray 10 hours. I must fast 7 days. Then I must throw salt 7 times around my house. Then I must do this. Imagination. Yetzer, Nabat, Rayon. If a wicked king Nebuchadnezzar could sit on his bed, have thoughts come into his mind about the year after, about the future, thoughts coming into his head, how much more can it happen to you and I? Nebuchadnezzar experienced a rayon, which is thoughts. When you sit and you're just visualizing the future, the Bible says those thoughts are speaking about your future. It is a vision of God. It says it was given by God to him. When you're sitting in your room and you're praying or you're meditating on the scriptures and you're dreaming about a good life, I hope there's not people dreaming about a bad life. But if you're dreaming about a good life, you better know that you are seeing the future and you're seeing and you're in constant imagination of an outcome. I'm going to say it again. A constant imagination of an outcome. Which, a constant imagination of an outcome. Then it goes on and says, and God says, now God was imagining it. He was breeding it. He was hovering it. He was giving birth to the earth. Okay? And then he says, let there be light. Say with me, light. Now, it doesn't say in the Hebrew that in the Hebrew it says, light be. Because let there be light, the word let kind of like still give light an option to be there or not. But the word light be is in the actual Hebrew. It gives light no option but to be there. I'm getting to a miracle so that you know how to receive your miracle. So that when we say pain, go, that pain has no option but to leave. And I'll get to the good part right now, okay? Let there be light. Light be. You are an extension of God. You are the only creation on this earth given the ability to have a language, to speak with a vocabulary. Are you guys with me? You are the only creation that can speak with a vocabulary. Because God says, whoever says, say with me, says, not pray, not fast, not ask, not beg. Say with me, says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and believe in his heart that the things that he said, believe in his heart that the things that he says shall be done. And whatever, say with me, whatever. So it first of all says the whoever says to this mountain. Now it says whatever, say with me, whatever. Whatever he says, so it shall be done also to him. Which means that it's not whosoever, whatever you pray for, whatever you fast, whatever you ask. No, no, no. It's whatever comes out of this mouth. Whatever is first thought of in this head. The abgluda, what do you call it? The agluda amaglata. Whatever you call this thing here. You think adula amaglata. Where you think of it here. And then you say it out of your mouth. And as you say it out of your mouth, it comes to pass. Because our vocabulary and our language is the only extension of God towards man. That's why we're made in His image and His likeness. Well, not the only extension, but one of the main ones. We're the only creation that could speak. Are you guys with me? And our words create. Listen to this. And God said, let there be light. And God saw the light that it was good. So if it could. And God divided the light. Now listen to this. And God divided the light from the darkness. I will stop at this verse. I won't go on because you're going to backslide. Okay, I'll stop there by verse 4. So I hope you can understand this because this doesn't make sense to me. God just said, let there be light. But now there's darkness. Are you guys with me or have I lost you? I was kind of like, how can God say, let there be light and there's darkness? How can God say, let there be light? It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't. God said there was light. God said you'll be able to pay your rent at the end of this month. But your bank account doesn't show it. God said you will have a house, a big house one day, or this, or you have a big family, or this. But you have nothing. You're living in a one-bedroom apartment. You're not seeing it. But God, you said it. That problem was in the first chapter of Genesis already. But I'll tell you how to remove that problem and how to deal with it. Come on, are you guys with me? God says, let there be light. And in the very next verse, it says, now God was to divide the light and darkness. It doesn't make sense. Either God is not all-powerful. Because my Bible says that He's omnipotent, omnipresence, and omniscience. Omnipotent, He's all powerful. Omniscience, He's all knowing. Omnipresent, He's everywhere at the same time. But if He's omnipotent, if He's all powerful, then He can change what He wants to know, what He does not want to know. So that's how it comes to your sin. But anyway, so God says, let there be light. And here the Bible says, and God saw the light and He said that it was good. Say with me, God saw the light. But then there was darkness. How does this compute? Some people attack me because they don't know Bible. So just go read your Bible, okay? I'm trying to throw out revelation to make you hungry, not make you resist me. There was some people last night that resisted me. They won't receive a thing. They actually, you know, God might have such a miracle for them. But because they closed and reason in their hearts. How can God use Leon? Grace. Amen. It's not me. I didn't want to plant this church. I had to plant this church. You know. And I said I had to, not by man. An angel told me. Now it says, the light was good. And God divided. Say with me, God divided the light from the darkness. How can there be darkness if God just said light be? Listen, how can God says I will be healed and I walk out of here and I'm still got cancer? How can I receive a prophecy, I receive a financial breakthrough, and the next week I still don't have any finances coming to you? Even God says light be, but there was darkness that was still mixed in there. Because whenever God, listen, in the Hebrew it is said like this. Whenever God spoke, when He spoke light, how many of you know light took place? But it hid itself under darkness. That's why that word divide does not mean divide. It means to expel. God had to take the darkness and expel it from the light. Come on, I was expelled out of high school, so I know what it is to be expelled, okay? So God had to expel the darkness from the light. He had to cast it out. God had to go, and God said, listen, this is how you read the Bible. You must understand, there's a Hebraic way. Every letter in the Bible, I'm not speaking of a word, I'm speaking of every letter has a word. So if I read in the beginning, just in the beginning, God created. If I take that, I believe it was beginning, which means with a B in the Hebrew word alphabet, the first letter, the first letter of Genesis, it's a ballet, I believe it is, I might be wrong, but and it's like a B, but it's in the shape of a house. In the very first letter, God is already explaining that about the church and about Christ that's going to come and will bring and will establish a temple and a house, the church, the body of Christ in this world, in the very first letter of Genesis. So when we read Genesis, the Jews don't read the way we do. First of all, they read it from right to left, and they read it with time mixed with pictures. Every letter has an image, okay? So as I minister, Lord, it might not make sense to people, but the word divide means expel, to expel the light. So when God was to say, light be, and then God looked, and then He had a problem because He couldn't find the light. Now He had to divide the light, expel darkness from the light. Are you guys with me? Because God is all powerful. And He says, listen here, when I speak something, it has to be there. It has to be done. Your healing is hidden in your pain. As the light was hidden in the darkness, your healing is hidden in your pain. Your poverty, listen here, your prosperity is hidden in your poverty. You just gotta know that God spoke it, and it is gonna get ready to be expelled. God is gonna get ready to expel poverty, to expel sickness, and to divide the light from the darkness over your life. But that doesn't mean we have to doubt what God is doing. God already said it, which means you can take it to the bank. Come on, are you guys with me? God said it, it is so. Listen, say with Him miracles. Say imagination. If God said, light be, and the light was hidden, and God gives us His language, and the Bible says, are ye not gods? Are you not gods? Say with me a constant imagination of an outcome. Constant fluttering, brooding, breeding something. You're giving birth to something. It feels like nothing is happening. You're stuck at a retail job or whatever, but you're imagining a great, great future. Those thoughts are not vain imaginations, and it is not sinful. It is of God. I'm not speaking of sinning thoughts. Those thoughts are better. I'm speaking of good thoughts. If you need a miracle in this place tonight, begin to imagine yourself healthy. Begin to imagine yourself healed. Begin to imagine yourself blessed. Before I prophesy, I imagine it. It's called Yetzer and Rayon. It's in my mind. My mind is connected to my spirit. I am imagining the imagination of the thoughts of my heart. So before I go here, I'm imagining the service. I've seen how the service playing out, and then I do it. Where I've pulled somebody with a broken hip up, completely healed, and a miracle coming to her. When I did that, I had an imagination of seeing that happening before. Yetzer, say with me, Yetzer. Say with me, Rayon. Now we'll teach you like that in the future for those who stay. And you'll get many stuff. And say with me, are ye not gods? That's what your Bible is saying. Are you not a God? Is he not the King of Kings? The Lord of Lords? Come on, are you guys with me? If God spoke and it was created and it didn't look like it was taking place, and you're speaking something and it looks like it's not taking place, listen to me. Are you not gods that when you speak, you can create your life? You are a total sum of yesterday's words. I am going to say it again. You are a total sum of yesterday's words. You are a total sum of yesterday's words. Your value is determined by what comes out of your mouth, not by your bank account. Because the more you speak it, the more you attract it. Come on, are you guys with me? And I'm not speaking about the secret that came out many years ago. I'm speaking about God's secret. Let's go to miracles. Say with me, miracles. So I wanted to get that through to you. Imagination, a constant. Listen, I can go into my prayer room and I can say to my wife, I don't want to be bothered. And I can be in my prayer room and I can sit there for hours, 8 hours, 9 hours, and I can just sit. I can just sit, and the presence of God is thick. And I've prayed, and I prayed many years, many hours in tongues and fasting. And all I do is I'm just seeing. I actually have to go like this to see around what I'm seeing. And I'm just in that imagination. I'm in that yetzer, a constant imagination of an outcome that God has for me. I'm constantly imagining it. When I look at the church, I don't see us here. We've only been here 5 weeks, but I don't see us here. I don't know what I'm going to tell you where I will see us. I'll one day put up a blueprint for you on the screen. But I'm in a constant imagination where I'm seeing us. I'm in a constant imagination when I walk past people, when I look at them. If you're sitting in the chairs, if you're members of our church, whatever, or you're going to become members of our church, when I look at people, I'm constantly looking and imagining an outcome, God's perfect outcome. For I see this one's going to minister, this one's going to do this, this one's going to intercede, this one's going to cast, this one's going to be planting a church, this one's going to have a ministry, this one is this, this one is going to be a group, this one's going to have business, this one's going to be healed, this one's going to have a great family, this one's going to be blessed, this one is going to help with this, in this area, but God is going to use this one that way. But I'm imagining an outcome for you, a constant imagination of an outcome. Come on, are you guys with me? Say it with me again. Say a constant imagination of an outcome. I'm just giving you the biggest secret to life. You can sit here poor today, next year you will be not poor. You'll give more away than what you've had living with now. Now let me give you just three keys to the miracle. Go for Acts chapter number 3, verse number 1, as we're going to pray for you just now. Acts chapter number 3, verse number 1. Actually, before we pray for this, I want to just ask just to take up an offering so that we can get into prayer. But let me just read this. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Next verse. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, so this man was lame, and they carried him, and they saw Peter and John. He saw Peter and John, went to the next verse. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, Peter looked at them, fastened his eyes, glared at him, said, "Look on us." Verse 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive some. Say with me, expecting. John was looking at them. John and Peter was looking at this man. And the man looked at them, expecting to receive something. Say with me, expecting. First key to a miracle is, number one is imagination. Number two, with that imagination comes an expectation. So when I can feel this, and I can feel who's expectant. I can walk down an aisle like this and I can feel who's drawing on me and who's not. Who's pulling virtue out me, who's not. Some might just sit like with their legs up and looking this way and I'm walking past. Do you really think I'm going to prophesy over them? Amen. And then there's others, they're on the edge of their chair and they're placing a demand in their spirits. They're like, God, don't pass me by. Don't pass me by. I need a miracle in this. And those ones usually place a demand and their spirits are open, their heart is open. There's no reason. They're trying to work it out. How does this now work? Did Leon now pay Simeon? Did Leon now pay Simeon, or did Leon now pay that lady standing there? No, I never saw him in my life. Okay, so, but I saw Patrick. That's what I saw. The person he spoke to on the phone today regarding a business deal for his business. Oh, yes, yes. No, people. And they had been silent again. My Lord. I think they got upset that they, okay. Okay, so. Say a demand, guys. I am not moved by people's thoughts anymore. I am moved by their faith. I'm going to say it again. I'm not moved by people's thoughts. I am moved by their faith. It's people that have faith. The Bible says that Paul could see who had faith. I can look over a congregation. I can feel who's got faith and who's got hunger. Who's pulling and who's not. Who's got faith, who's doing something. And then I'll go minister to that side or this side or that side. It's placing a demand so that we don't become spectators but participators and demonstrators. When you become a participator, you automatically become a demonstrator of that which you have participated in. If you are a spectator watching somebody operate in the prophetic, working miracles, and you're spectating, you'll stay a spectator. But when you begin to participate and you press in and you're like, I want to be a part of this, I'm pushing my hand forward and praying for that person. I'm grabbing that word, I'm participating, I'm not just sitting and watching. Once you become a participator, you will become a demonstrator of that which you have participated. Now, he said to them, they looked at him expectantly. He looked at them expecting to receive something. Next verse. Then Peter said, silver and gold I have none, but such as I have. Peter said, I don't have silver and gold. John had. John was loaded, but not Peter. I have. I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up. He says, but that, say with me, but that I have, I give you. I can only give you what I have in here, and you can only give somebody what you have in here. Amen. That's why I don't let anybody preach on this pulpit only. There's maybe two people that are allowed to preach apart from oversight on this pulpit, because they don't give you what they say. They give you what they have. Go for it, the next verse. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. So he took him and he lifted him. It's now the working of miracles. So when we pray for you for a miracle, whether it's me or Stefan, the team or anybody we pray, many of us will say, work the miracle. Do something that you couldn't do before. It's the gift of the working of miracles. But now we can go back to knowledge gained by observation. This man had looked at them and they looked at this man. There was an observation taking place. Come on, guys, with me. Proven by experimentation. And they, which means that they took their hand out and they said, and they lifted him up. Are you guys with me? Rectified by clarification. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And the man stood up and began to walk. And that is science of a miracle for you. Come on, are you guys with me? Say with me, I want a miracle. Say, I am open to receive miracles. Tonight, whether it be physical or financial or any area, spiritual, I receive it. I snatch it in Jesus' name. Tonight, in this place, I receive everything you have for me. Stand to your feet, church. Let's begin to worship Him. As you stand, listen. As you stand right now, I was going to do an offering message. I'm not going to do it right now. I wanted to give a great revelation regarding finance, but we'll leave that. I want to ask you know, in the Feast of Tabernacles we give, and I showed you how no one is allowed to come empty-handed. This is according to Scripture. God is saying no one comes empty-handed to the feast. And I will, it's not a command, you're not on the bound. No, you can do as you feel in your heart. But if I want to apply the promises of this feast, which I read out on Sunday, that is happening this year, from the governmental things to what is happening in the next 1,000 years and so on, and even in this year, and what is happening, when we give into this atmosphere, into this feast, this open heaven, you don't need faith in this conference to give. Because the heavens is open and it's a set time appointed by God to bless you. But that blessing comes in proportion to a covenant, which means that I do my part and God does His part. As you give, the measure that we give in this conference this week or tonight, some many has given yesterday, some might give tonight, some go tomorrow. But as you give, you set the tone for this year coming, which is the Jewish year that is starting now. It's a change of millennium in the Jewish calendar. And in the Feast of Tabernacles, the Jewish people would come with gifts and they would come with to honor the Lord and to say thank you for what He's done and what He is going to do. And as a feast, many people I've seen, you know, many we celebrate it, but so very few people catch the power of celebrating financially in a feast. I have already given from my side, I'm not those pastors that say we're able to give and I'm giving into my own church. No, okay. I give into a higher anointing. I have to. These pastors, I'm tithing. You're tithing in your own church. Take your money and tithe to somebody else. Higher the anointing. Don't tithe into your own church. That's not tithing. Amen. You tithe in your church. Yeah, but I mean like the pastors now, okay? Like the pastors, they tithe up. They give into their own congregations and then they take the money out for their salary again or whatever, but they, you know, they've tithed now. No. Or, you know, they preach, give. Somebody throws in 20,000 rand. They take 20,000 rand. They go buy some nice shoes or something. The Lord has blessed me. No. People have given to the house for the house to be a storehouse and to be fed. Amen. So, but anyway, listen, when you give in a feast, it is commanded. God says, no one shall come before me empty-handed during this time. Deuteronomy 60 verse 60. I want to encourage you as you're standing here, under this atmosphere, cannot never buy a miracle. Whether you're going to give now, you'll receive one, and whether you're not going to give, you can receive a miracle. Hey guys, with me? Financial miracles work a bit differently and etc. But if you say, I want to ask you, on your seat is an envelope that says sowing on or something like that. And if you have a seed in your heart that you want to give towards this conference, you know, just today we had to spend thousands again just regarding things. This is sound, air cons are going up. They want to charge us thousands. And it's always money. And even though I have a great imagination, it is difficult sometimes with when it comes to money, okay? But you have an envelope like this, put a seed in there. Otherwise, we have credit card machines in the back. We have EFT for your convenience in the back. We have PayFast, which is also a solution via card for your convenience in the back. You can go home and you can do an EFT afterwards if you want. Or you can say, I don't have cash or anything coming out, but tomorrow night I'm going to bring something, but I'm going to give something. But those who are saying, I have a seed to give tonight, whether it's by credit card or EFT, or you're just going to do a pledge and you're going to bring it tomorrow, or you're going to put it in the envelope right now, wherever you're at, if you're saying, I'm ready to give it, I just want to pray for you. Can you raise your envelope or so just in the air? Many of you know how we work with this, so you have it ready already and you can just lift your seat up and so that we can pray for you. And you can anytime go there to the reception desk, just lift your envelope. Father, I pray for every single person right now. I pray for the presence of God to come upon their finances and a miracle breakthrough to come upon their finances. Even as they give into this conference, you promise us in the book of Haggai, that when we build your house, you will build our house and you will look after our family. That many people have been cursed in their finances because they adorn their houses, but they never adorn the house of God. And your people have been giving so faithfully yesterday, so awesome, my God. I was even crying when I saw how other people have been giving. And this is surely a sign of an open heaven. In the fifth week of this church, I pray that the finances of the people in this house, if anything, let their finances be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ.